so. And whoever disbelieved, let not his disbelief grieve you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To us is their return, and we shall inform them in details what they did, what they used to do, and the consequences of their actions. Verily, Allah is the all-knower of what is hidden in the chests of men. And elsewhere, the same has been repeated, for example, in Surah Taha, the same emotion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. We have not revealed the Qur'an to cause you distress. In Surah Kahf, we read, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِيُ النَّفْسَكَ لَا أَثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. That, O Prophet, don't let their rejection make you kill yourself over it. Okay? They don't believe. إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. They don't believe in this Qur'an. In the next ayah, نُمَتِّعْهُمْ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ نَتَّرُّهُ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ. So this is for the people who, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, those who rejected the revelation, the message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first of all, don't let them grieve you, don't be upset about it. But what is it, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's going to do with them? How is he going to deal with them? نُمَتِّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا. We are going to let them enjoy قَلِيلًا for a little while. We will open the doors of enjoyment in this dunya. No matter how long they live, it is still قَلِيل. It's brief compared to the infinite akhirah. ثُمَّ نَطَّرُّهُمْ. And then we will force them إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ, to a never-ending punishment. And in other words, the end is there. If it looks like, if you see those people who are doing bad things, who are disbelieving and doing all kinds of injustice to people, especially to believers, and you say nothing is happening, just remember this ayah, نُمَتَّعُهُمْ قَلِيلًا. Allah said, we will let them enjoy, let them have power, let them have domination, let them have wealth, let them, for a little bit. And then we will, for the moment those eyes close, force them into Jahannam, عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ. So the translation, we let them enjoy for a little while, then in the end we shall forcefully drive them to enter a great, enduring and harsh punishment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you another scene, because the kuffar, the Quraysh of Makkah, believed that Allah existed, except they had partners with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Saying, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you ask them, these disbelievers, who created the heavens? مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ. Who created the heavens and the earth? They're not going to claim that we did. لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. They will certainly say Allah. So here, a case, evidence, a proof is established for the Day of Judgment that you knew that Allah created all of this, that Allah gave you all of this, and yet when it came time for you to respond with your worship, you took partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. He's saying, say Alhamdulillah. Acknowledge Allah and thank Him for all of this. But no, أَكْثَرُهُمْ, the majority of them, لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They do not know. Either they do not know, elsewhere in the Quran says, لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. In other words, they don't have aql to process that information properly. What should be the result when I know that Allah is the creator and the sustainer and the provider of everything? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدِ. لِلَّهِ, to Allah belongs, مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ, everything that you know and don't know in the heavens and in the earth belongs to Allah. لله, the way it's put, it means it belonged to him. Nobody gave it to him. It just belonged, it was his, because he created it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed Allah, هُوَ, he is الْغَنِي الْحَمِيد. الْغَنِي is the name of Allah, which means he is self-sufficient. He has no needs. So there is nobody to fulfill his need. Now you can be the wealthiest person here, you will have need. You may have need for a servant, you may have need for food, you may have need for something. But Allah is beyond need. He is self-sufficient. He is Al-Ghani. And Al-Hamid, one who is praiseworthy, who is praised, whether you praise him or not. Before he created anything, he was Al-Hamid, worthy of praise. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you believe in him, you are not doing Allah any favor. If you do hamd to him, you are not doing any favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hamd already belongs to him. If you participate in that hamd, it will be for your benefit. You will get the rewards for it. Allah has not made any greater. Allah is not in need of any of his creature. As it says, if all of mankind, all of jinnkind became as evil and disobedient as the worst of you, it would not diminish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his greatness, in his praise in any way. And the vice versa. So, since Allah is free of all needs and all wants, self-sufficient, we should also know that frequently we as Muslims, we are ummah of hamd, of gratitude. We still do not thank him enough because there is so much that we take for granted. Simple things. We wake up, we take it for granted. I was going to wake up anyway. We are breathing all day. I don't know how many breaths you take, about 14 a minute multiplied by 60, multiplied by 60, 24. We take it for granted that, you know, we will have air to breathe. It will be fresh enough to breathe since we are living here in the Northeast in America and not in New Delhi. And we'll have the 20% oxygen rather than 20% carbon dioxide. We assume all of that. That my joints will move, you know. Everything we assume, we take for granted, and therefore we do not praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't do shukr to him as he deserves. Whereas we are an ummah of hamd. Our book starts with Alhamdulillah. So we should be ever grateful. And I'm grateful to Dr. Talal, who is not here today, because he reminded us of that with a little thing he wrote, that he about the weather he wrote, that he and his son were sitting in the car and they initially said, why is it so hot? And then they immediately remembered and they turned it into a hamd of Allah. Alhamdulillah, it's in our Jannah. Okay? So that's how we have to think. We have to change that mindset. Now comes a very interesting imagery and ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٌ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if all the trees, every tree on the earth, was made into pens. You know, pencils are made of wood. But in the old days, pens were also made of wood. You know, there weren't these kinds of pens. It was a thin wood that you cut and you cut the tip of it. You know, we've written it when we were young and you had an inkwell and you dipped it and wrote. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, think of all the trees. Now, if somebody could count, can you count all the trees in the world? Can you count all the trees in your garden? No. In the world, in the Amazon and everywhere else, all of those, and you converted each tree into pens. How many pens would come out of each tree? The pens are this big. Literally thousands, millions out of each, multiplied. Now, all of that became pens that you could use and write with. And then, وَالْبَحْرُ and the oceans, the seas, يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةٌ أَبْحُرُ. And the oceans, if you want to take seven oceans, you add the same amount of ink, you replenish them. Imagine the amount of ink you would have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. That Allah's words would not get exhausted, the pens would break, the oceans would dry, Allah's words would not be exhausted. Inna Allah azizun hakim. Indeed, Allah is mighty and wise. What does it mean? His words would not be exhausted. Kalimatullah. This includes all of the revelation, the guidance, the wisdom behind each of those. This includes the commands by which of kun, that Allah creates things, all the by His commands, His words by which systems are running, all of His actions, all of the guidance that has come, all of the knowledge that exists, all of the wisdom that exists, the messages that came, the words that describe His attributes, that pray, glorify Him, His traits, His names, His praises, all of that are infinite. Even if you could count the trees and the pens you created from it. Because Allah is infinite and everything else, the oceans and the trees, are finite. Okay. So this is an imagery Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates to tell us what? Inna Allah Aziz. Al-Aziz, the mighty. He has might and He is Hakim, the wise. Some have said, why is it mentioned in this order? Why Aziz and then Hakim? This is also out of His wisdom that He mentions Aziz first, because Aziz tells you about His might. And this message is coming to the people who are questioning because of their arrogance, that if you realize His might and His power, maybe it will stop you from your own tyranny of your nafs and your arrogance. So Allah is first reminding you, who are you dealing with? Al-Aziz. And then He is Al-Hakim in the way He does things. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His punishments, sometimes we as Muslims ignore that, because we say we'll lead our lives the way we do. Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. People who are disobeying, who don't pray, who drink, who do other things, if you remind them, sometimes says, you know, Jahannam is for the kafir. We are, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim for us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there is might and there is wisdom, there is rahmah and there is forgiveness and there is punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabbi' ibadi. Inform my servants what? Anni ana al-ghafurur rahim. That I am indeed most forgiving, most merciful. Wa anna adabi huwa al-adabul alim. And my punishment is a very painful punishment. So there is a balance. So a person should live between that, hopeful of Allah's rahmah and forgiveness, but afraid to do things that might bring His punishment and His adab. Then for those people, as you know, the kuffar had the biggest problem with resurrection, as they would come with bones and say, how can these bones be brought back to life? And bones of billions of people, who would know whose bones were what and how can this happen, that sort of thing. So in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Your creation and your resurrection, whether you are millions or billions, is to Allah like the creation and resurrection of one. Whether it's one or 100 billion, it's with the same ease, with one command of Allah. So nothing is difficult for Him. And if you remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an example in Surah Baqarah of one of the Anbiya of the Bani Israel who comes to...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I got a message from Najib saying that people are waiting on Zoom and they're unable to get...
They've got the wrong thing. They will have to watch, just tell them. They will have to watch the recording. I'm not going to interrupt. No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, مَا خَلْقُكُمْ, your creation and your resurrection is as easy as it was for one. And as I was saying, that Uzair alayhi salam came to Jerusalem and found it completely demolished. No two bricks, no two stones were together. And he looked at the destruction. He said, and how will Allah bring this back to life? And you know what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him to death and then raised him up. And what happened to him? He looked around and the food that he had was still sitting fresh. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, look at your food. He said, this is fresh. How long were you sleeping? He said, a day or part of a day. He said, look at your donkey. And the donkey had become disintegrated bones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Mi'ata'am, for 100 years you were dead. And Allah brought him back to life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought those bones of the donkey back to life so he could continue on his journey. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like easy as that was, everyone else is easy. So nobody should doubt the ability. How do you doubt when Allah created all of us from nothing, that He can recreate us from a part of us? And as the hadith tells us, from the smallest part of our tailbone, Allah will resurrect us, wherever that is. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah sami'un basir, that indeed Allah hears and He sees. Now what's He talking about? Why is this here? These two attributes. Allah sees how you are behaving and He hears what you say, that who's going to bring this back to life? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding him that you are saying all of this. Just remember, one day you will be brought. It's as easy as that, just like that. And Allah has already heard and seen, heard what you said and seen how you behaved in this dunya. So do not deny that. Then the next ayah, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَيُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ كُلٌّ يَجْرِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Have you not seen? Now it's talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, singular. Have you not seen? Do you not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inserts the night into the day and the day into the night? What does that mean? The scholars say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sometimes, as the days get longer in the summertime, He lets the day encroach on the hours of the night. So the days, and in the winter time, He allows the night to encroach on the hours of the day. So the nights get longer. So one is, these are signs. And also the alternation of the night and day, these are signs. And the fact that, so there is a system that's running. It's not, you are not doing anything. Say, okay, let's make the days longer in winter. Let's make the, you know, nights longer in summer, it's not enough time between Isha and Fajr. No, this is Allah's system that's running. And then He tells us, وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمْرَ, and He has subjugated the sun and the moon, كُلٍّ يَجْرِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, that they will travel, يَجْرِي, travel, or they will swim in a predestined or predetermined circuit, or for a period of time, both where they travel and how they travel. As you know, the earth travels where?
Around the sun.
Around the sun. Does the sun travel? Is it fixed?
It's fixed.
Sun is fixed, he says. How many agree with him? No. The sun is also moving. Whole galaxies are moving. Sun is moving within the galaxies, and the galaxies are moving in comparison to each other because the universe is expanding. So he's telling you the sun is moving like it's supposed to. The earth is moving around the sun. The moon is moving. All of those have been subjected to you because that's the rotation of the earth and the sun coming and going gives you certain duties, daily duties. The moon gives you certain duties. What are the duties that are assigned by the movement of the sun? Salah, 5 times a day. Okay, that's determined by that. What else is determined by this sun movement?
Sun movement.
Sun movement, when you start your fast, when you end your fast, right? Daily duties are determined by that. Monthly duties by the moon. What are those monthly duties? What you just did, Hajj and Ramadan. and Eid and Zakat, because it's due every year on a certain time. So these are all running to give you a time frame in which they set for you each day of the sun, that the sun comes and goes. There are five obligations on you that you will be questioned on. Every time the moon goes through Ramadan, there are duties that you'll be asked about. Hajj and so on, so zakat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made all of this, and He has the movement of the sun, the day, as He said, He has made it for you to travel and to go out and seek halal rizq and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He has made this ila ajalim musamma, something that is predetermined in its circuit and also in its time, because there is a time where the sun and the moon will cease to exist. Okay? Now the Arabs, 1400 years ago, they thought that what we see in the heavens, the stars, the sun, they are eternal. But what does astrophysics tell you now? Everything has a time where it implodes, whether it becomes a black hole or something, they all have time limits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing cutting edge science 1400 years ago that even the sun will meet its end, the moon will meet its end, the earth will meet, everything is here, is finite, it's not infinite, it just seems, because it's been here for 3.8 billion years. That seems like an eternity, but it is not. Everything comes to an end. Illa wajha, the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.